You're listening to a podcast from Victory. How can we emerge triumphant in the face of temptation? Find out in week 3 of Rise and Fall.
Magandang hapon po sa inyong lahat. Welcome po sa ating 5 p.m. service dito sa Cinema 8. We have been going through a series titled Rise and Fall. And this is actually a leadership series. Now in this series, we're talking about leadership. But before I'm going to jump into our topic for today, I just want to explain to us, to help us understand that the leadership lessons does not in any way allude to any candidates whatsoever. I know that we are in an election season, okay? It is a very hot topic. It's all over the social media. It's all over the news. Okay, it's a conversation among families and friends. We want to help you understand what is our stand, where we are coming from. And this is us. No, we want to give you some political guidelines or electoral guidelines. Let me read some of them. Okay. And again, I hope as we help you understand this, I want you to see that this is us. This is not just pastors and stuff, but this is the entire Victory, the entire Every Nation movement. Well, first of all, regarding electoral guidelines, we encourage everyone in Victory, that includes us pastors and staff, to get us involved in the political process as their schedule permits. Okay, we cannot be salt and light from the sidelines. Okay, God has called us as a church, as believers, to be salt and light, but we cannot make such an influence if we will just stay on the sidelines and not do anything. In other words, not register. And I hope and I trust that you went out to register and you are ready this coming election. Okay, so kami po ng wife ko, bona fide taga-kainta na kami. Okay, we just registered. Pumila kami doon sa biometrics. Okay, so we must get in the game and get involved. Secondly, we will not allow any Victory leader or member to use the pulpit, small group, prayer meeting, or Victory name to promote or endorse a specific candidate or a political party. Okay, that is a no-no because it is a very sensitive issue, okay, and it's a very divisive as well. And we don't want that in our Victory groups, okay, when we talk about the Bible. We will instead use the pulpit, small group, and prayer meeting to give a biblical perspective to specific issues without reference to personalities and parties, including educating our members on how to choose their candidates wisely. We will also use the pulpit, small group, and prayer meeting to inspire, train, and disciple future leaders who will one day run for office. Okay, this is part of our vision in making disciples, that one day there will be disciples who will run for office. Thirdly, we recognize that because of the advent of social media, pastors or any Victory group leaders, okay, any one of you who are one of our leaders, we now have a platform to influence people beyond the pulpit. And as such, pastors or any Victory group leaders and staff are expected to exercise discretion with regards to supporting specific candidates. Qualify that it is a personal support and not representing the church. Okay, we respect the personal choice of anyone. Okay, so here in the church, social media posts from the pastor should include a qualifying statement that the political opinions presented are in no way reflective of the view and position of Victory. And that is why we want to ask that you make some discretion when you post, okay, as one of our leaders. Be active, be involved, but use some wisdom also, especially when you post in media, when you snap a picture in some of our points here, and then you flash it on your Facebook and referring to a particular candidate. Okay, so medyo hindi ata yun ang intention ng preacher or yung message natin. Okay, it's not meant for any candidate. So please use discretion and some respect to which the preacher preached those message and gave those points and how you will use and apply that. Okay, so and hopefully you will really be able to make some application of what is being preached here. Fourthly, in our desire to see more Christians involved in building nation building, we will take the initiative to pray for and inform our people about long time and active members of our church who are running for political office, regardless of their political party, and whose platform generally promotes a biblical worldview. Bakit po? Kasi yan ang vision natin. Ang vision natin to is to help contribute the transformation of this nation. And since we are casting a vision of honoring God and making disciples and training leaders, we want them, if God has called them in the political office, to go and run. And if we can vouch for their character and their commitment, then by all means, we will support them just as we would support any businessman, any husband or father, or whatever station you may hold in life. So just as we pray for the success of our members who are in different spheres of society, such as business, media, education, arts and entertainment, military and sport, we believe that God has called certain people to serve in government, and we will pray for their success as well. And especially if they have a biblical worldview, no? Yun ang goal natin. Lastly, at a local church leadership's discretion, we will provide a forum separate from our regular church activities for candidates running for local or national office to present their respective individual platforms to any of our members who are interested to listen. Of course, we are doing this carefully. Hindi ito basta-basta lang, no? So, sometimes wala, sometimes meron. Ultimately, every citizen will vote, I hope you will, for those who they want to be in office. And we will not dictate you who you should vote. That is your personal right and your personal obligation. We simply help you understand biblical principles, but we will not decide for you. Parang marriage lang yan. We'll teach you the principles of marriage, but we will not tell you who to marry. Does that make sense? Right? So because that is your personal responsibility, it's your personal obligation to hear God. And at the same time, however, we believe that providing this forum is consistent with our vision of encouraging members to be involved in political process, as well as helping promote the Commission on Elections, drive the voters' education, right? So I hope that is clear. Should you have any question, clarification, please don't hesitate to approach us, okay? We would be glad to help you clarify some things. Going back to our series, Rise and Fall, again, as I've mentioned, this series is about leadership, and there's many kings in the Old Testament. And in leadership, not only are we see a picture of a leader worthy to be followed, but hopefully this series will also inspire us to become a leader worth following. That this is not just about other people. Ultimately, this will also bring about a check on our own lives, because we believe that every one of us here are called to influence people. And especially if you are a believer, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are called to fish for men. You will influence people. So the last 2 weeks, we have looked at King Abimelech, okay, and how he was hungry for power, and the people as well, how they ignored looking at good leaders and right leaders. Okay, and then last week, we talked about King Saul, insecurity, pride, and disobedience. It robbed him of all the honor that is due him as king. Yet, he received grace from God. He was given by God the opportunity, really, to become a great king. Unfortunately, he responded in a different way. So we can learn from the accomplishments of these leaders as well as their mistakes. Today, we're going to talk about the leadership of King David. While Saul was remembered as the first king of Israel, David is remembered as the greatest king of Israel. And there are really two very contrasting leadership now between Saul and David. We've talked about that already last week. Today we're going to focus on David. And for this particular message, okay, let's look at his mistakes. We'll look at how God raised him up to become a leader, and one of the perhaps significant fall that he experienced in his life. And yet, how he responded to that unfortunate event in his life. Yet he responded well. And hopefully we'll learn from that, no? And because he responded well, God also responded well to David. So let us stand right now. And let's just read the scriptures. And let's just give reverence to the word of God as we read it. I'd like to read 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 5. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she had been purifying herself from her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house. Verse 5, and the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant." Let us pray for a while. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come to you today, and we ask that you would give us ears to hear, Lord, what you want to say to us, and eyes to see what you want to show us in line of the life of King David of Israel in the Old Testament, Lord. Now I pray that the lessons that we're going to talk about here, Lord God, will be a lesson that we can bring home with us, Lord God, even in our own lives, in our own leadership calling, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you have a purpose. You know every person in this room today, and you have a message for them. So speak, Lord God. Let your servants hear you today. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You may go ahead and have a seat. Just a story I want to share quickly. You know, in 1993, McDonald's, you probably heard this, some of you, McDonald's was sued by an 81-year-old woman, right, who was injured because of a very hot coffee that spilled on her lap, okay, while, I guess, if I'm not mistaken, while driving. She won that case, and she was actually awarded by the jury $2.9 million. But the presiding judge reduced the damages to $480,000. Okay, so the case was popularly known as the McDonald's coffee lawsuit. And if you know the story, if you think about it, parang sobra naman yun, okay? Very, very dumb, no? And in fact, this is the reason why you will see in every McDonald's coffee cup na meron talaga siyang warning, no? Caution, made, handle with care, I'm hot. Okay, it becomes a part of a practice na, no, na you know, people have to be warned that the coffee they are buying at McDonald's is hot. And duh, obvious ba? Okay, so coffee nga, hot coffee. And again, it may sound so dumb, okay, it may sound so insignificant, okay, parang can laugh about it, react to it, but you know, the reality is, sometimes we people just need to be reminded, right? Sometimes we need to be warned of some things. Sometimes we get, you know, clumsy at things, especially in the area of sin. How many of you can agree to that? Especially in the area of sin. We all have a tendency to forget. We all have a tendency to ignore, to be clumsy at how we treat temptations that come our way. And I want us to understand that as leaders, many of us have experienced failure. Some of it, we've experienced the same failure over and over again. And that's why we need to be reminded. We need to be corrected. We need to be rebuked. And this can be true with especially leaders who hold, you know, high positions. Okay? Because sometimes the position, the influence, the perks gets into their head. They forget the risk and the responsibility that they hold as leaders. You see, you need to understand that leadership is both a privilege, and it's not just a privilege, but it's also a responsibility. Okay, it is both a privilege and a responsibility. Now, going back to the leadership of David, let me just bring you back, and I know many of you know about this, how the Lord raised him up to become the greatest king of Israel. He was a young boy. He was the youngest among eight brothers and almost forgotten because he was the eighth and the youngest. Yet he was faithful in tending the sheep, okay, of his father, okay, the flocks of his father as a boy. Now, what happened was, as a young man, perhaps a teenager, he was anointed to be the next king of Israel. Could you imagine that? Out from the fields, okay, tending the sheep of his father, he was called because he needed to be anointed as king while King Saul was still reigning as king. And then a few years later, he entered into the king's service, not as a warrior, but as a musician. Okay? How many of you musicians here? How many of you play an instrument? Okay? Appreciate nyo ba yung mga music team natin leading us in worship? Okay, so ganun ang ginagawa ni David, no? He was ministering to King Saul as a musician. Merong matinding, ewan ko, parang depression si King Saul that he needed to be relaxed and be suited with King David playing the harp. King David was so anointed na napaparelax si King Saul. Okay, so ibang klase, no? And then one time, when he was bringing some food to his brothers, there was a Palestinian giant who was taunting the Israel. And when he heard the taunt, he could not bear the thought that this guy, this giant, this Philistine, was insulting the armies of God. That something burned in his heart. Now, he could not let this pass. And he was willing to fight the giant, the 9'9" Palestinian giant. And so, he fought the giant and killed the giant with one single stone using a sling. Could you imagine that? Hindi lang siya magaling na musician, talagang, anong tawag doon? Asintado pa. Right? So, ibang klase ito si David, no? And because of that, that victory earned him a place in the military. He became an officer and he led some military campaigns and he was so successful in those campaigns that it became so evident that the grace of God, that the favor of God was upon his life. And I believe, just like many of us, okay, when we started out in our Christian walk, we grew in our relationship with God, we got so excited, the Lord is bringing breakthrough in our lives, and people begin to recognize the grace of God in our lives. They begin to hear the testimony of the breakthroughs that God is bringing into our lives. Yet all of this breakthrough in David's life, King David's life, made King Saul so jealous of him that he wanted him dead. Saul made it his mission to hunt and kill David. So David spent many years hiding in the cave. Yet, because God was with him, even though he was hunted like a criminal, a wanted man, he grew in influence and power. In fact, many mighty men joined him and they become an army. Until the death of King Saul, David began to reign as king. Now, that's how the Lord raised up David. Now, out of being a shepherd boy, okay, the least among his brothers, forgotten and neglected, the Lord raised him up to be a king, a warrior, to lead his people, Israel. Now, David was a good king. And for the most part, okay, he was a godly one. He had a very intimate relationship with God. That relationship influenced the way Israel worshiped God. He wrote many psalms, okay, many songs, okay, that became worship for the people of Israel. But he also made some mistakes, made some bad decisions. Okay, that includes the census when he started counting the fighting men and God judged him kasi hindi naman siya inutusan to do that and he bear the consequence of that. Okay, so but perhaps his greatest mistake or greatest failure had something to do about his weakness. Okay, he had a weakness in his life that wasn't dealt with for a long time. Now, I believe all of us have a weakness in life. Meron tayo, you know. Maybe for some, okay, their weakness is lying, okay, or parang hindi sila makaderechong sagot pagka naipit na, okay. Medyo naghahanap sila ng excuse. Maybe for some, ang issue nila is yung pagchichismis, pagtotalk that causes a division and friction of relationship. Maybe yung iba, yung weakness nila, okay, something to do with the way they will handle money, all right, so being good stewards of money. Maybe yung iba, katulad ko, one of my weakness, okay, one lang po of my weakness is movies. Okay? My wife knows that, okay. Pag ako humarap na sa movie, kahit napanood ko na 5 beses yan, talagang papanoorin ko pa rin. Kaya po hanggang ngayon, wala kaming cable TV sa bahay. And my kids are wondering, ano ba yan? Wala tayong cable TV. Okay, so all of their classmates have cable TV. Okay, and it's let help them understand. Kasi napupuyat ako pag may cable TV. Okay? I'm just being honest. Okay, so nasisira ang disiplina ko. Nakakalimutan ko magbasa ng Bible. Okay, puyat-puyat ako. Okay, so, and then, nag-iiba yung attitude ko. That's one of the my weakness, that the only way for me to fight and win is to not have any cable TV. Okay, so ang ginagawa ko na lang, nanghihiram, nanghihingi ng movie, okay, or nanonood from time to time. But since mahal ang movie, paminsan-minsan na lang. Hallelujah. Okay, so ganun lang po, no? Yung iba-iba tayo ng weakness. But for David, one of his greatest weakness is actually women. Women, for that matter. He had many wives. Hindi pa siya king. Marami na siyang asawa, no? And in fact, at the reading of this story, David already have probably about 4 or more wives before this incident with Bathsheba. And this actually is a direct disobedience to the command of God for kings in Deuteronomy 17, verse 17. Particularly, verse 17 of Deuteronomy 17. To marry, to have more wives. Okay, so God prohibited his people or his leaders, kings, not to have plenty of wives. Okay, so, and that's why you could just begin to imagine, no, na inherit ni Solomon yung weakness na yon. Si David, there are about 8 known wives listed with names in the Bible. Yet there's a verse in the Bible that it says he married many more women when he was in Jerusalem. So we really didn't know kung ilan talaga naging asawa niya, no? Now, some of you will probably ask, eh, pero pastor, bakit ganon? Bakit pinayagan niya? We're not going there. We're not going to talk about that. Okay, so that issue, okay, yet. But at least yun yung ginawa ni David that ultimately brought a toll in his life because he did not deal with that weakness. So, you know, for God, it's a command, and that's why this really became sin in the life of David, no? It brought such a destruction, okay, in his life and in his family. That with this one sin, there were so many consequences that happened in his life. Okay, so well, let's look at the fall of David. Okay, in this particular story with Bathsheba, we see a picture set up for David. Na kumbaga makikita natin na yung picture doon na parang na set up si David talaga. It was a perfect setup for him to commit this fall, to commit this mistake. So what is wrong? What is wrong with this setup? Well, number one, what happened was David, during this time when he committed the sin, he was idle. He wasn't doing anything where, in fact, he was supposed to be doing something. He was supposed to be doing what God has called him to do, and that is to lead his people in the time when they are facing war with the Ammonites. He was supposed to be there leading his people. But instead, he stayed home. This is what happened, verse 1. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab. He delegated what he's supposed to be doing. He delegated it to someone else and his servants with him and all Israel. But David remained at Jerusalem. So yun yung nangyari, no? So dahil siya lang mag-isa doon, dinelegate niya lahat, nirelinquish niya yung responsibility niya, wala siyang ginagawa. And trouble happens when we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Trouble will start to come in our lives. There are some certain things in our life that we cannot delegate. You know, we cannot delegate maturity to someone else. We cannot delegate devotional commitment and our devotional life to someone else. Pwede ba ikaw mag-quiet time para sa akin? Hindi po. We cannot delegate some roles like being a husband, being a father to someone else. There is a responsibility and a calling that God gives to a certain person in his station in life. So what happened is he delegated this very thing that he was supposed to be doing. And as a result, he was not in fellowship. Okay, he was not doing well in that time, not doing what God has called him to do. So he was doing something else. Yun po ang nangyari, no? And this is a warning for us. And this is the thing that we can learn. If you're not doing what you are supposed to be doing, you will end up doing something you are not supposed to be doing. This is the danger. And this is what happened to David. He ended up doing something that is not supposed to be doing, all right? Getting a married woman for himself. So, and this is a warning for every one of us. What God has called us to do, in other words, let us be faithful to that. Let us remain true to that. Let us not delegate the things that we are supposed to do. Our maturity, our strength as a disciple is dependent on us in our disciplines and not the disciplines of others. Does that make sense? And it's important, okay, that we keep a check on that. The second picture that we see here, what went wrong is vulnerability. David became vulnerable. Okay, he dropped his guard by being idle and exposed himself to temptation. And not only that he exposed himself to temptation, kasi palakad-lakad siya sa roof niya, okay, and pa-browse-browse siya doon. Okay, so in modern day, parang internet yan, you know? Wala kang ginagawa, pa-relax-relax. Sige nga, mag-browse-browse nga ako. Eh, ang ending, kung saan-saan ka na nagbabrowse. At kung ano-ano na yung binabrowse mo. You get exposed to something you're not supposed to expose yourself. Okay, so this is what happened to David. But not only that he was exposed, he began to entertain, okay, the temptation. Verse 2 of 2 Samuel chapter 11. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. My goodness. Ito na nga yung weakness niya. Ito pa yung nakita niya. At nung nakita niya, alright, so medyo wala siyang ginawa. No? Wala na nga siyang ginawa doon sa dapat niyang ginawa. Ngayon, may nakita siya, okay, na hindi niya dapat gawin, yun ang ginagawa niya, okay? Dropped his guards, okay? And entertaining a temptation. And hindi lang yun, pinasuri pa niya kung sino to, babae na to, okay? Pinaimbestiga pa. Wow, patay ka boy. Yun ang nangyari, patay ka boy, okay? So, and we find in verse 3, and David sent and inquired about the woman, okay? So, and I want us to understand that, you know, we need to be careful what we expose ourselves into. Especially if you know, okay, if you know that you are weak in that area, all the more you should not expose yourself to that. In fact, it will reflect in your actions what you expose to yourself in your eyes and in your heart. Okay, it will reflect in your, parang camera film yan. If you remember the age of a camera film before the digital camera. You expose the film to light so that it will capture an image. That's the principle of camera, no? So, kung ano yung exposure ng camera, yun yung image na print ang makukuha niya. So, ganun din tayo. If we expose ourselves to our own weakness, it will be reflected in our action. On the other hand, if we expose ourselves more to what is godly, what is spiritual, with godly people, yun din ang lalabas sa buhay natin. Yun din ang lalabas sa mga actions natin. Okay, so if you're a businessman and you expose yourself to some compromises, you know, tinitreat ka, binibigyan ka ng gifts so that as an exchange, alam mo yung mapipilitan kang mag-compromise. Hindi ka na makakahindi kasi sobra-sobrang favor na ang naibigay sa'yo. Okay, that could happen. Okay, when you are not a Christian and yet you go clubbing with non-Christians, wow, patay ka boy. Okay? If you are single, o may boyfriend ka, o may girlfriend ka, at nandun ka sa bahay ng boyfriend and girlfriend mo, at wala doon ang mga magulang, hello? What are you doing? Medyo kulang sa, either kulang sa isip, or talagang gusto talaga. Intentional talaga. You expose yourself. You see, there is a danger, okay, when we expose ourselves. What David did, okay, and this is the warning. When exposed to temptation, we are supposed to run, not fight. Do not fight the temptations you are supposed to run away from. It's a foolish thing to try to fight with something that you are weak. Does that make sense? The Bible says, flee. Flee from the evil desires of youth. So that's what happened to David. He was idle. He wasn't doing anything. But instead, he exposed himself to something that now he was tempted to do something else. that he's not supposed to do. And worse, David was alone. He was isolated. We go back to verse 1. David remained in Jerusalem. He was supposed to be somewhere else, but he decided to stay. He was supposed to be with his people and his army, but instead he was alone. Therefore, there was no one to check him. There was no one who can speak to him and to reason with him. Teka muna, sigurado ka ba sa gagawin mo? In fact, we read in verse 3 and 4, and David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, okay, isang tao, wala siyang magawa. Sino lang ba siya? Nautusan lang. And sabi niya, eh, hindi ba ito si Bathsheba, yung babae na mahilig maligo? Okay, Bathsheba, di ba? So, ligo na ligo. Okay, so, walang magawa kundi maligo kung saan-saan. Anyway, so, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, parang, but what can he do? Can he confront David and speak to David? In fact, they can't do anything about it, so David sent messengers and took her. Why? Why was David able to do that? Because there's no one there who can correct him, no one there who can reason with him, because he was isolated. He was alone. And this is the warning. Don't you ever find yourself alone doing nothing, most especially exposing yourself to something you know you are weak at. Does that make sense? When you find yourself alone and in the middle of something that you know you are weak at, you need to start really running. You need to start calling people. Listen, church, let me just encourage us here today. If you find yourself struggling over some weakness in your life, find help. Please find help. Please find somebody, a person you can trust. Don't try to fight it yourself. I hope that you will not be alone in trying to overcome the struggles that you have in your life. You know, I'm glad that there are people that can speak into my life. I'm glad that, you know, there are people who check on me time to time. You know, if you're struggling with some weakness that you have not overcome yet, better yet, ask people who will check you from time to time. Give them permission to ask you, how are you doing in this area, my friend, my brother, my sister? Because it's good for you. Kasi kung minsan, kung tayo lang ang nagsasalita para sa sarili natin, lahat yung sinasabi natin para sa sarili natin, favorable sa lahat ng gusto natin. Walang check and balance. And that's why we need relationships. That's why we need discipleship. This is the warning for us. You know, the saddest state a leader can be at is when no one knows what's really going on with him. Listen to me, church. And not just a leader, but any person. You know, the saddest place you will find yourself to be at is when no one knows what's going on deep within you. If no one really knows what is happening in you, I bet you are so lonely. I bet you are so alone. I bet you have so much lies and condemnations in you. So much fear that it's binding you. It's enslaving you. And that's why I want to encourage you. Don't you ever find yourself battling your struggles just by yourself. God sends people who can help us. You see, the truth about sin is that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay and costs you more than you are willing to pay. All of us, listen, all of us are capable of doing and committing what David has committed. Don't you say that, si David yan, that's not going to happen to me. Oh no, be careful. Don't challenge yourself in that. But all of us are capable. We have that tendency. And you know, it's a good thing that God sent Nathan the prophet to rebuke David and pronounce judgment. And it's a good thing that David responded, that we can learn how David responded. Let me read in 2 Samuel 12. Nathan said to David, okay, after he rebuked him, told him through a story, okay, and David was so angry at what the man did. And Nathan said, "You are the man." And David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has put away your sin, and you shall not die." You know how David responded? David listened. Nevertheless, Nathan said, "Because by this, Indeed, you have utterly scorned the Lord. The child who is born to you shall die. Then Nathan went to his home. So David listened to this correction. How he responded as a leader is that he listened to correction. Not only that, he repented from his sins. He repented. He said sorry to God. He was broken in his heart. Not only that, he accepted all of the consequences that has been pronounced by the prophet Nathan for his sins. And there were many consequences. Okay, nabuntis, okay, and then namatay yung bata. Okay, and hindi lang yung bata, okay, marami ding namatay because si Uriah, okay, hindi lang siya namatay, some other soldiers. And then yung anak siya, anak niya, alam mo yun, trinidor siya as king, dishonor siya, and so on. There's so many things. Talaga nagkagulo-gulo na yung buhay niya towards the end. But he willingly and humbly accepted all this from God. And here's the heart of David. In Psalm 51, sabi niya kay God, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 3, he said, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And this is what David asked of the Lord. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Instead, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. You know, because David knew God, because he has an intimate relationship with God, he found assurance from God's grace and forgiveness in his life. But you know, God still referred to David towards the end of his life. And even in the New Testament, after kings, okay, the succeeding kings, many kings after, God was still referring to David as a man who is after his own heart. Because David's heart really was for God. He was quick to repent, quick to acknowledge his mistake. As I close, here's an encouragement for all of us. Since all of us face temptations in our life, let me just say this, church, and this is what the Bible says. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, when Nathan said to David, God has forgiven you of your sins, you will not die for these sins. Someone else actually died for the sins, not just of David, but for all of our sins. And that is Jesus Christ. And that is right why right now we can walk in the light. We can walk not in the condemnation of sin. We can walk not in pretending that we don't have sin or we are not tempted. Not in trying to be perfect. But even in our weakness, even in our mistakes, we can confess ourselves to God and find grace, find ourselves one more time walking in the light rather than in darkness. And this is a challenge for all of us, because all of us are called by God to become leaders, not just of our own life, but to anyone who would come to God. We are called to help people. We are called to fish for people. And we are to take heed of this warning, and we are to learn from this example of David to listen when corrected. Listen. When we stop listening, we start dying. We start becoming corrupt. When we will not repent, we end up, you know, lost in our ways. When we are not willing, when magre-reklamo tayo, Lord, sobra naman, konti lang yung ginawa ko, bad ganin, sobra naman ang parusang ito. You know, you can choose the sins you want to commit, but you really can't choose the consequences that sin will bring. But thanks be to God, in Him, we find grace, we find mercy. We can go on walking in the light as He is in the light. Let me just pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You for what You have done already at the cross 2,000 years ago for us, Lord. Thank You, God, that all of our sins have been forgiven, Lord. And yes, we fall short over some things in our life. Yes, there are still issues that needs to be dealt with in our lives. Yes, there are weakness, Lord, that needs to be confronted and to be, Lord God, dealt with in our own life. But I thank You, God, because You are gracious, because You are faithful, because Your will for us is not to remain in our weakness, not to remain in the bondage, in our struggle, but to walk in the assurance of Your mercy and grace, that like David, even though he made a mistake, yet he had that conviction to teach sinners how to repent, because he himself have experienced it. He can teach sinners how to trust God and find mercy and grace in God, because he himself have found mercy and grace in God. Lord, I pray today that if there's any sin in our lives right now, that You would heal us, Lord. You know, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed today, you know, if you're struggling with sin, perhaps for the longest time, it's been there, months, years, never been dealt with. You try to deal with it, keeps on coming back. You almost don't know how to deal with it anymore. But you know, you can be set free from that. I want you to understand that God's will for you is not to hide from that sin, but rather to hide in the mercy and in the grace of God, so that you will not become a slave to that sin. And I'm not going to ask you to lift up your hands, but I want to speak to you today, and I pray for you. I pray for you that you will find the courage to bring that into light, to find somebody who can speak to you and correct you in that, and to be ready to accept correction. I pray for you that whatever lie and shame that you are already thinking and feeling, if you come to light, that's nothing compared to the destruction it will bring to you when you stay there. You see, the price to experience freedom has already been paid. And yes, it could be shameful at least a while. But then when you experience God's healing, you can, without any shame, testify how God is so gracious, how God is so good, how God is so merciful in setting you free. And so I pray for you today in the name of Jesus, that the Lord will set you free, that the Lord will deliver you from whatever secret sin you may have in your life. And I pray that no place of darkness in your life, no secret sin will remain in your life, so that no place of darkness can remain. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.